Blog Talk Radio.
Changes within the internal mechanisms of our Blog Talk network here, so we are adapting to those things that changed in the new year. Welcome to Meditative Living. This is Swami Sivanandagiri bringing you the teachings, the blessings, and the Shakti of His Holiness, Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj of Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the first white-skinned, American-born human elevated to the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars within Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is the actual name for what is more commonly referred to as Hinduism. So, we do this little meditative living show to share with you that which we are capable of sharing. For the regular listeners, you know the last few episodes, we've been going through the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, India, who was the guru to the guru of this Swami's guru. From Nityananda, it went to Baba Muktananda. From Baba Muktananda to this Swami's guru, Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda, and down to this Swami to then share with you. So, we've been reading the Chittakasha Gita, which is a book But it wasn't actually written by Nityananda. Nityananda did not write anything. But several of his close disciples made notes of things he would say, because he actually didn't hardly speak very much at all. And he was what's referred to as an avadut. This is one who is born completely God-conscious and aware. At no time from the time of his birth was he just a normal human. And he did not conduct himself as a normal human, nor did he teach as a normal human would. But over the years, this collection of things he would say was put together primarily by a woman known as Tulsi Amma, and this was put together into the book, the Chittakasha Gita. The Chittakasha is a term in Sanskrit which refers to the sky of consciousness itself, not separate from anything, everything included within it. Gita, if you're not familiar with that term, means song. But in the ways of both the Bhagavad Gita, the Sri Guru Gita, which is utilized in our tradition, the Chittakasha Gita, it says song, but it's actually any way of expressing truth from the knower of this truth to those who would study and learn. So it's not song in the way that we in the West might think of, you know, a tune on the radio. It's not like that. We will take up now verse 26. Nityananda said, "When a seed is fried, it cannot sprout. When a lamp has no oil in it, it cannot be properly called a lamp. When the sun is shining, a gas light becomes dim. It is the sun that gives light to the whole world. If mind is regarded as the king, then intellect may be regarded as the prime minister. When a tree does not bear fruit, it has no beauty. There is no effect without a cause. In darkness, light persists. Darkness is ignorance. Light is knowledge. One must see for oneself. One must return to the place from whence one started. We must return the thing we have borrowed." Now, the commentary given here is by Acharya Kedar. There are, one who is an Acharya is a veritable encyclopedia of knowledge. That's how one comes to the title of Acharya. But Acharya Kedar's commentary on what I just read: "This entire universe manifests, is sustained and withdrawn due to the existence of the supreme subject, the one absolute God consciousness that we refer to as Shiva. Without this light of God, nothing shines and nothing can exist either. Can you see yourself if there is nothing to reflect your form? You cannot. In the same way, all objects in this universe are reflections of that supreme subject. Without the supreme subject, the object cannot exist. In fact, all objects, people, places, things, do not simply reside here in this world. They exist inside the body of supreme consciousness. Even darkness needs divine light to be recognized as darkness. The form we are in is on loan from Shiva. We must follow a path and a master that will allow us to realize this fact completely. Only then can we go home. This Swami adds, what we do in our practices is we seek to put our attention inward, upward, and outward. This is returning to the source. Verse 27, Nityananda said, a guru will lead any sort of man from a thorny path to the royal road. Such preceptors are of two kinds. One is the primary preceptor, and the other the secondary preceptor. Mind is the primary preceptor, and the other the secondary preceptor. One is not the preceptor of the other. He is only the secondary preceptor. The secondary preceptor is one who shows the water in the well. The guru who exists in the heart of all beings is the Jagat Guru, the universal teacher. Acharya Kedar's commentary says, on the spiritual path, the guru is the means by which individuals make it back home. A siddha, siddha means a perfected being, who has the power to bestow Shaktipat, can lead any person from the ignorance of their own delusion to the royal road to God realization. Shiva, the universal siddha, the primary guru, he exists in the heart of all living beings. The Acharya is not the guru to Shiva. The cosmic mind, Shiva Shakti, is the primary preceptor. The preceptor in the physical form of the guru is the secondary preceptor. The secondary preceptor is the guru who gives you Shaktipat and guides you in spiritual practice until you are set. The secondary preceptor is that master who shows you the self. The one absolute supreme being takes the form of the guru to bring you home. Verse 28. Nityananda said, people generally think that a teacher's body is guru. A man does not become a guru by simply wearing sandals and counting beads on a rosary. One who talks of Brahma Jnana and gives stones to his disciples is not a guru. Whatever a guru speaks in words, he must show it in action. First, one must practice, and after realization, he must begin to teach others. Acharya Kedar's commentary. The guru is not the physical body, but rather the grace-bestowing power of God at work through the physical body. Someone who has been ordained a monk and wears the clothes of a sannyasi should not automatically be considered a guru. Someone who teaches from the scriptures and tells you that he or she is all knowledgeable but cannot give you direct experience of God and the guidance necessary for complete liberation must not be considered a guru. Even someone who is appointed a successor in a siddha lineage should not automatically be considered worth following. Know the true universal guru by the fact that his own actions are in alignment with his liberated state and the teachings he espouses to you. The guru is one who has attained the final state through his own practice, having followed the instructions of his own guru. Once liberated, this person has an obligation to teach others and offer the guidance that will help people attain that very same state of union with the divine. Verse 29, Nityananda said, "One who has thoroughly wiped off the idea, I am the body, is fit to be called a guru. There is none higher than such a one. There is no God above such a guru. Such a guru is God, and God is such a guru." Acharya Kedar's commentary. The guru is one who has risen above body consciousness and remains in a state of total ecstasy, in a state of complete intoxication with the self, with a capital S. Such a being is one who has merged his identity in the absolute. For a guru, only God exists. And this world, as you perceive it, does not exist by itself or away from God. A siddha has risen above the limitation of the ego, the body, and the mind. Such a being knows from their own direct experience that the body is just a covering, a vehicle by which God comes and goes in this world appearance. A sadguru is not attached to his or her body, nor the senses. A perfected being, a siddha, such as this, is God. God expresses through such a being to bring the children back home. Verse 30, Nityananda said, "If you keep sugar apart from us, we cannot experience its sweetness. If we eat it, only then can we know its taste. A man cannot get mukti," which means freedom, "if he simply repeats Rama, Krishna, or Govinda for 1,000 years. He must repeat it heartily, knowing the secret." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Sugar, apart from its sweetness, has no taste. We can only experience sugar and know what it is by tasting it, not by repeating the word sugar, sugar, sugar over and over again. Likewise, it is not possible to experience mukti, or liberation, freedom. Freedom in this context is used to say freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Anyway, likewise, it is not possible to experience mukti, or liberation, or freedom, by simply repeating Rama, Krishna, or Govinda for even 1,000 years. If this were so, liberation could be had from simply reading a book, something we already are very clearly aware is not the case. No matter how hard we try, we will not attain liberation unless we are able to realize the potency of the mantras and the secret to their power. The potency of the mantra is understood through Shaktipat, and the instruction of a guru in the use of the mantra. And the secret to the power of mantra is devotion to the deity of the mantra and complete identification with the deity of the mantra when repeating it. This becomes easily understood through the grace of an empowered guru. Or also through the assistance of one empowered by the guru to carry out their teaching. That's the position this Swami is. This Swami is not guru, not to anyone. This Swami serves the guru and expresses things for the upliftment of others, and the guru has empowered a flow to occur at a very subtle level through this Swami's speech and actions. And that's the truth of the matter. Back to the text. Verse 31. Nityananda said, "Cow milk can never be bitter. The stone fixed in the earth cannot speak. By visiting places of pilgrimage like Benares and Rameshwaram, a man cannot attain mukti." Again, mukti meaning liberation. Liberation from the rounds of birth and death. What is essential is keeping the mind steady for a moment by introversion. Seeing earthen and stone images is not seeing God. It is mind's hallucination when you regard images as God. Without true jnana, jnana means knowledge, mukti cannot be attained. Our taking the human birth is the effect. Giving this birth back is the cause. We must know the cause and the effect. Likewise, we must know the good and the evil, the right and the wrong. Knowing all, peace must be attained. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Everything is ordained by God. God's law dictates how things work. Cow's milk has its own taste, which is recognized by the fact that it is not bitter. Stones cannot talk. In the same way that God has ordained that cow's milk is not bitter and stones don't talk, God has also laid down the means and approach for attaining him. God cannot be known by worshiping an object made of stone. Pilgrimage to holy places is useless without the direct knowledge of the inner self. The true pilgrimage is real meditation and worship, is the act of fixing the mind steadily on the Supreme Being inside yourself. This practice causes the mind to become quiet and eventually to dissolve. Once this occurs on a constant basis, one merges with their natural freedom inside, and such a person becomes the place of all pilgrimages, the holiest of places. Taking a human birth is the effect of our past karmas. The purpose of the human birth is to attempt to retrace our steps back home. When we do this, we return to the cause, the source of all that is. The purpose of life is to realize God. Through this understanding, you begin to cherish righteousness and dharmic behavior. This is the way in which peace is attained. Verse 32. Nityananda said, "If a building has no doors, call it a house. Without fire, we cannot heat water. Without air, fire cannot burn. Without food and sleep, a man can live for a few days, but without air, man cannot live even for a few minutes." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Just as a building without doors cannot be called a house, just as water cannot be heated without fire, and just as fire cannot burn without air, a person cannot live without prana. This prana is the means by which the Supreme Being comes into and exits the body. It is spiritual energy. Awareness of this prana shakti is the basis for the spiritual path. It cannot be said that you tread the spiritual path until prana shakti is awakened within you by the receipt of Shaktipat. Thus, Shaktipat is given by a siddha. Having received this essential spiritual awakening, a yogi, by the grace of a master, learns the true pranayama. Only such a person can be said to be truly alive. Sonic, let's go ahead and do the bottom of the hour tune. We'll be back with verse 33 here on Meditative Living. Welcome back to Meditative Living. Let's continue with the text. Verse 33 Nityananda said, destruction of the world means transforming it into Vayu, which means air with its blue color. Raja Yoga is the place of indivisible monism. If you enter the one, you lose sight of the many. Acharya Kedar's commentary. When you dissolve your mind by directing prana into the Sushumna Nadi, which is a subtle channel that runs up the spinal cord, when you dissolve your mind by directing prana into the Sushumna and upwards to the Sahasrara, which means the crown chakra at the top of the skull, the world dissolves. This is what is meant by transforming the world into Vayu. True pranayama is Raja Yoga, the royal union. To have this experience and make it consistent, not a glimpse, not, oh, this happened and I felt this way, but then it goes away. Well, then you don't have it. Consistent. It comes and stays and does not go. To have this experience and make it consistent, you have to receive and master instruction so that your mind becomes steadily absorbed in the heart of Shiva consciousness. When your mind merges with the absolute in this way, you lose all distinction of mine and yours. You see only the one universal experiencer in everything and everyone everywhere. Then you realize that God alone exists. Stepping away from the text, let the Swami add a little bit more to this. When you have reached the supreme level, you will no longer have darkness behind closed eyes. This is one of the subtle things that enlightenment speaks of. If you close your eyes and see darkness, you are not enlightened. I don't care what you've memorized, you are not there, because there is something else that occurs once you have reached the state of enlightenment. You can have all sorts of glimpses of things, all sorts of colorful visions, all sorts of things come and go, but if they go, they're not yet permanent. And the objective is to get to the permanent, steady, firmly seated, the asana, the seat of true knowledge. And until you are there, you do not know. You can believe all you want, but you do not know. And this is very difficult for the ego of a lot of people, because they want to think they know when they do not know. And experience comes and goes. You are not done yet. Many, many lofty, beautiful, magnificent experiences come and go as we are carrying out our practices. Some are scary. Some are totally blissful. But if it comes and goes, you're not done. You have to keep on until the state becomes permanent. And then no change is possible. And then at that point, you very clearly can see all that you thought was outside of you is actually inside of you. And that's the truth of the matter. When this Swami closes his eyes, nothing but blue is seen. There you go. if you're not seeing that, you've still got work to do. And it's okay. Continue. Enjoy what you gain, but realize that if it comes and then goes, you're not done yet. Just keep working towards it. And if you have the grace of a true knower, then you'll be assisted on levels you probably don't know much of anything about. Assistance will come. But for those who want to hold their individuated state up as primary, no, they'll never get there that way. Can't be done that way. They just want to make themselves bigger and greater and more knowledgeable. And that will never work. Cannot. Back to the text. Verse 34. Nityananda said, "In the infinite, there is no finite. To a knower, there is no not knowing. To a not knower, there is no knowing. If all the children beat a mother, she does not throw them away." Acharya Kedar's commentary. In truth, God alone exists. All objects, people, places, and things in this universe are mere reflections of the Supreme, the One, universal experiencer. Because God alone exists, there is no limitation, nothing finite in this universe. How can that which has no beginning and no end be finite? One who has become absorbed in this reality is a knower. Such a being sees only God in everything and everyone everywhere. To one who is ignorant of the truth, a not knower, only themselves and other ignorant people exist. One who is impure sees only impure people everywhere. The not knower does not know that God exists inside himself, and he does not believe the guru to be real. Still, like a mother who shows compassion for all her children, even though those children may abuse her, God accepts and embraces both the knower and the not knower as the same and loves them both equally, provides the not knower with an open door, an open invitation to address their ignorant condition through a knower. Verse 35. Nityananda said, "You must not leave the feet of a guru. Your mind should not flicker like the reflection of the sun in shaking water." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Once you have chosen your teacher, a true guru, keep both your feet in his world or her world. Once you have made the commitment to become liberated from the bondage of ignorance, to root out the darkness from within yourself, do not allow your mind to sway from the path and practices as instructed by the guru. Vigilance is an absolute necessity on the path to God realization. Verse 36, Nityananda said, "The seawater is boundless. The tank water has a boundary. Our mind is like the tank water. Mind is the cause of good and evil. A man may be good and bad according to his good or bad thoughts. God does not do good or evil to any man. The reason is, intelligence and knowledge are the divine faculties within man. A man protected by good thoughts cannot be harmed even by a cannon shot. Without proper yoga, at the feet of a true guru, liberation from karma is impossible. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Don't take refuge in your mind. Take refuge in that one, that ocean of divine consciousness that is beyond the mind. This is the only way to purify your mind. It is the only way to bring the restless mind under your control so that you can begin to master all the energies within your life. The mind is the cause of all good and bad actions. Therefore, it is the cause of all karmas. These karmas bind you to the cycle of birth and death. Within your being, there is divine intelligence that is superior to your individual and outwardly focused intelligence. It is superior to your mind. When your mind comes into contact with that intelligence, it desires to become pure and then merges with the Absolute. Such a pure mind will protect you from all harm. This is true yoga. Without the true yoga, liberation from the cycle of birth and death is not possible. Verse 37. Nityananda said, without knowing the secret, if we simply decorate the exterior skin, our karma will not leave us. One cannot be a sannyasi. Sannyasi means swami, a renunciate. Whether they actually have the title swami yet or not, a renunciate, one who has renounced the outer world, is a sannyasi. One cannot be a sannyasi by external signs if he is internally a hypocrite. What you think, you must speak. What you speak, you must show by your acts. Do what you say and say what you do. Such a man is a jnani. He is a paramahamsa. He is a yogi. He is a sannyasi. One who has conquered desire is the true sannyasi. Only a desireless man is fit to be a spiritual teacher. Acharya Kedar's commentary says, one should understand what sannyas means. The world is full of monks who have taken vows and wear orange or red robes. This does not make them sannyasins. True sannyas occurs when one becomes a liberated yogi. When you attain the state of Shiva, the state in which you experience bliss, joy, peace, and total freedom on a constant, uninterrupted basis. That is sannyas. Only then are you a sannyasi. That is the secret. Such a being sees only God in everything and everyone everywhere. Only a being like this can be called a jnani, a knower, a yogi, a paramahamsa. Whether wearing a loincloth, ochre robes, a business suit, a dress, or moving around naked, a sannyasi can be recognized by these qualities alone. Such a person is free from attachment to people, places, and things. This freedom from attachment and worldliness is the way in which you recognize a sannyasi. Only a person like this can be a true guru. Verse 38, Nityananda said, "What is served for others should not be eaten by us. We must place a separate leaf for us and eat our food." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Keep good company inside and out. This is the law for yogis. The beliefs, values, and concepts perpetuated by those who are ignorant of the truth should not be embraced by those who seek liberation. For those on the spiritual path, you should, air quotes, eat the, air quotes, food that will take you to the opposite shore. You should embrace the values, beliefs, practices, and lifestyle that will put you firmly in the seat of God realization. Nothing short of that. Stepping away from the text here now, this Swami tells you. That is the point of the renunciants leaving the world and the marketplace and the gossip and all of these things behind. And in ancient times, they went to the forest. They went to the caves. They went to the mountaintops and lived alone so that the common social interactions were no longer occurring for them. They were alone, but they were alone with their minds. They took their minds with them. So if they remain entertaining the thoughts of an other, something separate, well then, they won't make it. They will not have achieved sannyas and will not achieve it until such thoughts are killed completely, never to rise again. Verse 39, there is nothing like this one has more and another has less. The power of thought, the ears, the nose, the hand, the eye, etc. are the same to all. Acharya Kedar's commentary. No one is higher and no one is lower. There is nothing that is not God. God exists equally in everyone, everywhere. Shiva Shakti expresses itself through a body, the same for all. So, stepping away from the text, allow this Swami to bring a little more light to this. It is the path for each of us to come to the truth. Not just to read about it, not just to think about it, not just to agree with concepts related to truth, but to sit in truth with the viewpoint of the absolute, functioning through a physical body. And then you come to understand that this same viewpoint is being perceived through all bodies. They, the apparent others, in their state of individuated consciousness, have simply forgotten the unity the one. The one became the many, so that the many, after much practice, could rejoin the one and see nothing but that one everywhere, in everything, at all times. This is a very difficult thing to get our mind through this, because the mind will continue to toss out thoughts relative to the individuated body and our individuated, outwardly focused thought processes. We, in order to become solidly, permanently seated in the area of freedom, must understand this and see it at all times, without doubt, with no confusion even possible. And kindly allow this Swami to testify to you that attaining this seat, this perspective, is extremely difficult. And only the worthy ones will receive the grace that will enable them, because it cannot be done from the individual point of view. It can only be done once that individual point of view is dropped completely. So many want to make themselves, their ego, their body, their thought patterns bigger and bigger and bigger, and think that the unity will fit in it. No, this is not how it works. It is the mere perception of the individuation that must be dropped. These bodies are the least of what we are. When you come to know this without question, comment, or complaint, then you all have achieved Raja Yoga, the royal union with the divine. Let's take up next week from verse 40. Sonic, are you there?
Hello. Namaste.
Namaste. Have you got a question, comment, complaint, or idea?
No, I'm just trying to process the information that you've heard. I'm just letting that sink in.
All right. Well, it's a heavy thing.
Yeah.
Because, see, I mean, people think, oh, I've got to wrap my mind around this. No, you've got to transcend the limitation of the mind itself. Realize directly and consciously that it is only a tool with which you can work within the psychic realms and the physical realm. It is a limitation in and of itself, and it is going to continue to toss thoughts. That's what it does. It takes the inherently indivisible unity of oneness and makes it appear as if there is another. And that's its only job. So it's going to continue doing that until, and even after. I mean, once one hits the state of Paramahamsa, of one whose practices are finished, one who sits in the final God-conscious seat, the mind is still going to toss thoughts out. It doesn't become a blank slate. You can't function in the no-mind state. In the no-mind state, which we call Nirvikalpa Samadhi, nothing is happening. Because there is no one to see, no means with which to see, and nothing to be seen. The three collapse into the one, and nothing is happening. But time will keep ticking in the room that their body is sitting in while you are completely transcendent, whether that's for a minute, an hour, or a day. Doesn't matter. The objective is to become both transcendent and immanent, which means aware of the outer, at the same time. This is the cosmic balancing act. So many get to some hint of transcendence or some lower samadhi where they actually come into this feeling that that whatever it may be you perceive is me. And they can feel this kinship. There are this is the lowest samadhi called Savikalpa, which is the oneness where you are perceiving something that appears to be other, yet it feels only like yourself. And there are psychedelic plants and things that help us to experience these things, but then they go away. So if it's going away, you ain't done. So let's all keep meditating, keep working at it until we are finished. Namaste and blessings. We'll see you next week here.